And we're back.
Welcome back to Ike Live. We're really excited. One of the guys that we've known forever that really helped get this show up and off the ground and brought it to the greatness that it is today is here with us. Really happy to have him. He's the godfather of bass fishing, the way it's covered. So many credentials, of course, Bass Talk Live, Bass Zone, the first one to bring live coverage of bass fishing. So many firsts, and we're tickled to death to have him with us tonight. From his studio, the great Mark Jeffries. Yeah!
Mark!
Hey, everybody.
We're doing great, man. How you doing?
First of all, Becky, how about this? Everything is working.
It's a miracle.
Everything is working.
So this is what happens. I end up having to call Mark, and I'm like, we have Kung Fu fighting going on again, right, which basically means the audio and the video are not matching up. If you remember those old Kung Fu movies.
Oh, reference. Yeah.
So I'm like, Mark, we got to do this. So I get him on here, and we've got Stella in with us, too, so that, like, somebody could be here talking on the couch, and we're trying to figure it out. Finally, we just had to scrap it and build a whole new Wirecast. Well, I wow. didn't. Mark had to build a whole new Wirecast in, like, an hour and a half before the show.
So, I was pressure. Pressure.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Pressure. It's like having to catch a 4.5-pounder with a minute left.
Yeah.
You know?
But this is what Mark does. You know what I mean? Like, this is how
no,
he
I'm
saves
retired.
Us.
But no, I'm no. retired.
No, no. Don't you lie. You texted me and said, I'm going to retire, but don't worry. I'll always be there if you need help with Ike Live.
That's true.
So,
but,
that's
but,
true.
Hey, Mark, you're retired, but you probably feel like Yoda as a special education teacher with these people, right?
No. In fact, this chair that I'm sitting in right now, I have not sat in this chair since December 20th of last year, which was my final show.
Wow.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
So
I remembered how to press the buttons and everything, though.
That's good. So inquiring minds want to know.
What are you wearing
are
right
you
now?
Gonna...
And why?
Can you see?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you wearing an apron? What does it say?
Overalls.
Oh, it's a Tim Hortons apron.
Timmy. Ah.
The donut shop, coffee shop, and all that.
Oh. All right.
A fan actually sent that to me. Geez, 3-4 years ago.
That's pretty.
And.
And
ever
you decide
since
to wear it tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty loyal.
No. No, I have been working feverishly to get new bowling ball equipment drilled because the month of June is kind of why I retired a little bit. So I was drilling while I was waiting for Brian to call me or text me or whatever. I'm actually in the process of drilling a bunch of bowling balls.
Why are you drilling bowling balls?
You're building bowling balls?
Are you going back to be a professional bowler?
Well, that was part of the reason why, because I wanted to try and bowl on the PDA 50 Tour, at least try to do this year, at least try to do 3 or 4 stops. So what ended up happening was I ended up finishing 4th in the Oklahoma Senior Masters.
Dang.
And then, in fact, this past weekend, I actually won or earned an entry into the 2022 PBA 50 Senior U.S. Open.
Dang.
In Lubbock, Texas.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
I'm like knee deep in it. I've been bowling really, really well. I've been spending a lot of time practicing. And I've said this for a zillion years on BTL when I was on there. The two sports are so similar because if you don't spend time on the water, you're not going to catch fish. Well, guess what? If you don't spend time practicing, you're not going to knock down pins. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but no one's ever caught a bass in a bowling alley. All right.
I wouldn't say that, man. You don't know what goes on in some of those late night pot games, you know? Got some crazy stuff going on.
So what's up with drilling your own? I don't understand that part. You just go to the bowling alley and you grab the.
No.
No, you got to have your own ball.
Well,
you
I want to hear.
I mean,
Mark, tell me.
Yeah, you cast
well, no. You have it very similar to fishing. Once again, you have people out there that what do? They pour their own jig heads, right?
Yeah.
They make their own spinner baits. They do all kinds of custom stuff. Well, it's a little different with bowling because obviously manufacturers make bowling balls, but technology has gotten so complicated that it is turned into a game of physics rather than just going to the back of a bowling alley and picking out a ball and going and rolling it down the lane. So actually, this whole thing got started. I didn't know how to put a hole in anything from a bowling ball standpoint. So I got pissed off because I went and I asked the guy, hey, how much is it going to cost me to get this ball punched out? And he goes, $60. And I go, you're out of your freaking mind. I said, I'm not paying $60. So I went on a rant and I just, you know what? I'm going to buy a freaking mill, a milling machine.
For $2,000,
so I
right?
went on.
Yeah,
a,
what did that cost?
Yeah. No, listen. The Cliff Note version. Cliff Note version is I found a almost brand new mill from a dude in Tulsa, Oklahoma that was from Russia. Okay?
Here we go.
All right? This was on, this was on Craigslist. So I called him up.
Was his
and
name
I said,
Max?
Hey. I said, I'm looking for a mill. Listen, I'm going to drill bowling balls with it. And he was like, yeah, okay. He goes, yeah. He goes, I was using it to build airplane parts for a company here in Tulsa, but the company went out of business, and they forgot that I had their mill. So I tried to find the guy. The guy's nowhere to be found. So he said, hey, I'm just going to sell it. I was like, all right. I said, how much is it going to cost me? And he goes, well, brand new, it's $8,000. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm not paying $8,000. I go, you're out of your friggin' mind. There's no way. He said, well, what do you be willing to pay? I said, well, I said, I'll give you $1,000 for it. And he goes, okay, I'll take it. I go, seriously? He goes, yeah, I'll take $1,000. He goes, can you come and pick it up? And I go, no, not really. He goes, listen, he goes, my truck, it's got a crane on the back of it. He said, I'll deliver it to you for $200 more.
Dang.
It's like, deal. So Ivan was his name. Ivan got here, put it right in the corner of my studio. I had the electrical set up, and I was on a quest to figure out how to drill bowling balls in today's game. It's so, completely changed. Now it's all about physics and angles. And,
do bowling balls run out?
No, but – yeah, do they wear
out? How often do you have to get a new bowling ball?
That's, yeah,
all the time.
Why?
So I wish I could take the camera and show you. I mean, I've got 30 bowling balls sitting over there.
So, Mark, what?
But
is
wait,
the,
wait,
what
wait.
Is,
how or why? Why?
Okay, let me ask you a question, Brian.
Yes.
How many rods and reels do you have?
Several. A lot.
All right. Why do you only? Why not just one? I mean, why not?
All right. So you have bowling. They're situational.
They're very situational.
Okay. There's the 7-10 split ball and the break 'em and the step and the third.
It's very, very complicated. In fact, I have recently had – I know this is totally boring.
I'm intrigued.
You're like, you're so out of your freaking mind, Jeffries. But listen to this. I actually spent some time talking to a nuclear physicist about bowling.
No, I get it.
Now, no wonder the Taliban hates us.
Because he is probably one of the most intelligent people. He got his PhD from Stanford. Okay? This dude is truly a rocket scientist. But what he did is he dummied down the physics of how a bowling ball should go down the lane based upon how you drill it. So wow. I have recently been using his methodology when it comes to drilling the bowling balls. And people just look at me and laugh at me.
No, I'm not.
Gonna... I could walk into a pro shop right now where people pay $60 to drill a bowling ball, and I could tell them my theory of what I'm using based upon this guy. They would absolutely laugh me out of the building. It'd be kind of like you going into Bass Pro Shops and saying, hey, you got any zebra-colored spinner baits? Yeah, zebra, you know, black and white stripes. You know, no, I don't want skirts on that. I just want you to put some material on the back of it that looks like it's a zebra.
Right. So, Mark.
Well, how many weird looks would you get from the clerk that you walk up to at Bass Pro Shops or wherever, and you ask him for a zebra spinnerbait?
But we got a question on the message board from Pat Mangrak, and he wants to know if you're wearing shorts under that apron.
Yes, I am.
Sure.
So, no, listen, the reason that I wear the apron, real quick,
all right.
The guy that drilled all my bowling balls in California when I was bowling as a youth, his name was Al Harris. Big Al was the man. I mean, this dude was very, very intelligent. He had an apron. So when I started drilling bowling balls, is respect to Big Al, I decided to drill all my stuff with an apron on. Besides, it protects it because it's really messy.
He was an Eagles D-back, too.
So, Mark, when you're drilling in terms of depth, like, is it millimeters, centimeters, inches? What do you do?
Inches.
What is your depth? How many inches?
Well, the finger holes are 2 inches. Thumb hole is 3 inches.
And does it matter in terms of as you approach the ball, it's marbling? Like, are you drilling, like when you're looking at the marbling, is there a specific area you're targeting?
No, it's based upon two things in this new theory. And these, dude, we're going to lose viewers because people are not going to be interested in this.
All right? Don't worry about it.
There's just one critical thing right now, and a lot of people say there's multiple critical things, but in the theory that this nuclear physicist told me, there's one thing, and it's called the pin. Every bowling ball has what is called a pin.
That's the core.
The placement of where you put the holes based upon where the pin is going to determine how the ball is going to go down the lane based upon how you throw it.
What determines the pin, though? Does the
manufacturer. The manufacturer makes it. It's just, I mean, I wish. Do you want me to go? I don't know.
No. I'm intrigued. I don't care what these hooligans.
All right,
so anyway,
Mark's retirement is to become a professional bowler again.
Well, no, that's part of it. Obviously, I'm still teaching, you know, and now it's summer. Still coaching basketball. And the big story from a basketball standpoint was, you know, last year I had my accident. I almost died and got metaflighted.
Yeah,
after we finally made it to state here in Oklahoma for the first time in the school's history. This year was supposed to be a rebuild year. We lost a bunch of seniors. We only had one senior this year.
That's tough.
And we ended up going back to state.
Dang.
And it was completely surprising to a lot of people, even though we felt that we had not peaked yet and we got some key players in that had been injured as a result of football. But, man, we went back to state. The school's never been to state back-to-back years.
Wow.
And you know, it's kind of funny. Now we lost one player. Huge expectations for 2022-2023 with us because we have two studs that are going to be sophomores next year.
And you're the head coach?
Assistant coach.
Dang, dude. You guys underclassmen? That's amazing, dude.
Yeah. Really, really, really excited about next year. And it's kind of, you know, yeah, I'm the assistant, but it's kind of like co-head coaches because, you know, Coach Jeff Word, I mean, we're two peas in a pod. We're freaking frack. We complement each other so well when it comes to coaching. Our styles are the same. Philosophies are the same. It's kind of like you have two people fishing in the same boat, and you complement each other when you're fishing team tournaments.
But
the other guy does this well, and we've been very fortunate. So, yeah, I'm retired, and you know, I've ran into people because I have went fishing. That's the other thing that I wanted to do a little bit more. In fact, last Monday at Lake Texoma, I caught my personal best on Lake Texoma on a crankbait, and it was in a 8.7.
Dang.
And it was a monster for Texoma.
Nice.
Monster. And I actually thought I had a striper because I know Pete knows, you know, Lake Texoma is very famous for the amount of stripers that come out of that lake, and you catch them all the time. It doesn't matter if you're flipping or doing whatever, you're going to catch some stripers. But shocked, absolutely shocked. We probably had a 40-50 fish day. We saw one other boat on the lake, and that is the benefit of being retired and out of school during the summer. You can go to these lakes during the week, and there's nobody on them.
Wow.
Nobody.
How does that feel? Are you used to being retired yet?
I am staying, honestly, Pete, really busy, man. I am too
busy to put on pants.
Yeah. I don't think I wore pants to graduation. How about that?
There you go.
But no, I wear shorts every day. Anyway,
William Wallace been, over there.
Yeah, I have been. You know, I've helped Matt out. Behind the scenes, Matt has done a tremendous job putting the show together and the guests that he's had on the show in the kind of the direction, because it is a different direction. You know, when I was sitting here and he was sitting on the other side, we butted heads. We disagreed a lot. We tried to make it a little bit more entertaining from the aspect that he was kind of you know, the young generation, and I was the seasoned grizzled veteran, and you know, there was conflict there, and I think sometimes it was very entertaining, but I kind of tagged a line when the show got started. You know, we're going to talk about bass fishing and anything else that Matt and I want to talk about. Well, it's not that way anymore, because all he talks about is bass fishing. You know, so different direction, but man, the numbers have been outstanding. Do I miss it? Yeah, I can honestly say that when I walk through the studio and he's doing the show, I come in to feed the cat or, you know, grab a bowling ball or something, and he's doing the show, and I just look over at him, and, you know, he'll look at me and he'll go, hey, you want to jump on? And I'm like, nah, no, keep going.
So are you going to be starting like a bowling alley live? Like, what are you doing?
Well, actually, I did that. We did that 2 years ago, and it was called the Apex Series. And we actually had people calling other people out to bowl for money live on YouTube.
Dang.
And it was pretty cool. You guys have no idea, but I'm telling you, man, some of these big money, late night pot bowling games that take place kind of in the underground a little bit, they get pretty entertaining, pretty fiery. You know, some guys bowling a three game set for 500, 500 and 1,000 bucks. So you got $2,000 on the line. Over, you know, two games and then total pins.
Plus pot.
It's pretty entertaining, you know. Pete, has that ever happened in fishing? You know, where somebody just says, you know, I'm tired of all your trash talking. I'm tired of the stuff that you said to the media. I am tired of you running your mouth. Look, here's a grand. Let's go out. You versus me right now. You in your boat. I'm in my boat. Let's see what you got. Here's my grand. Where's yours at?
I you know, I've not seen it. I've heard a lot of trash talking. Like, we had a frog battle. I think it was between the Cajun Baby and Ish that we're going at who's the best frog guy. The problem with bass fishermen is they want somebody else to put the money up.
Hey, listen to this. I have known guys.
Sponsors.
Yeah.
I have known guys that have put up money without having money. In other words, they had so much confidence in their game that they would bowl for like 200, 200, and 400 and not have a dime in their pocket. Wow. Now, they end up winning. I've never seen a dude do that and lose. But I think that would be a very, very interesting concept in the fishing world to go, hey, look, you say you got game. You say you want to go out and play. You say that you're the biggest flipper, best flipper in the world. Let's go. Here's a grand. Let's go. Mano y mano.
I mean, there's beefs, but usually it's just somebody makes a YouTube video and somebody retaliates with another YouTube video.
There's a lot of chatter, but I don't see anyone in this sport actually stepping up.
Nah.
Who do you guys think would be the first guy to step up and go, listen, I'm tired of all the crap. Here's what we're going to do. I got $1,500 on the line right here. Who wants a piece of me?
Skeet Reese.
You think?
He's got that bank.
Byron Velvick.
I don't think Skeet cares. I don't think he pays attention to anything going on.
So you need someone braggadocious. Someone.
He is, but I don't think he's aware of everything going on around. He's just in a skeet bubble.
I think you named Boom Boom, right? Boom Boom, he likes to gamble. I wonder if he would.
Yeah.
Who likes to gamble.
Yeah. Who?
Wheeler.
Wheeler.
Jacob Wheeler.
I think Wheeler's the guy, Mark.
Yeah, but he would terrify everybody. His bank's too big.
Well, not just that. He catches them.
He's showing up with
his bank. His game is too big.
His game right
well,
now.
I'm serious. Good God. That would be so entertaining for the fans if it was just totally off the cuff. It's so easy to do now. I mean, technology is a piece of cake. For somebody just to go, you know what? You know what, Wheeler? All right, here. I got $2,000. I'm going to kick your ass. Let's go. And live stream the whole thing. Would you watch it, Pete?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. But isn't the sport already that way? We have to pay $5,000 to jump in a tournament.
But you're competing against, you know, 80 other guys in opens. Yeah. You got 240 guys. This is mono.
Yeah.
One-on-one. Let's go. With your own money on the line.
It's like
PBP,
WWE.
Me and you, one power bait worm, let's go. Let's do it.
Hey, Mark, I got a question. Hey, Mark, what pro angler in any circuit, which two would you choose to go head-to-head in a midget tossing contest?
What?
Wow,
well, that's offensive on so many levels.
Why?
You can't call him that anymore.
I love that Dave's getting more and more comfortable. Like, he just is getting lower.
Dave, watch out. Are you saying that because I'm here as short as I am?
You're not a midget.
Hey, have you seen the Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, they have a midget tossing contest in that movie.
I remember. Yeah.
Mark, we used to go to a bar called Iguana that would have midget tossing night. They wore harnesses, dude. Like, one would be around the small of the back, the other would be around the crook of the neck.
Yeah.
And dudes would launch them.
Wow.
into a ball of, like, foam, like a pit of foam.
We went downhill fast.
How about spaghetti?
I'm just asking who two anglers would do that. Who are the beefy anglers? That's all.
No, it's all good. Let's talk about... I think the fans
who are the beefy? Oh, you were looking for, like, the muscular?
Yeah. Who can hurl a dude? That's all. Who can a small dude?
No, I think the fans would flock to watch 101 with somebody putting their own money up and somebody calling out somebody with their own money and going, let's go.
Let's go.
I don't think it'll ever happen. I just don't.
Now, you've been trying to make that happen for a while.
Well, I just, you know, some of the things and having covered this game for so many years and Pete and Becky, you know this. You have seen some of the stuff that takes place behind the stage. Some of the stuff that takes place before you ever get checked in. Some of the stuff that takes place in the campground or at the hotel prior to the event, during the event, and after the day has completed. There are tensions between guys all the time. I just wish one time somebody would step up and, you know, here's what we're going to do, man. All right. Tournament's going to be over. People are going to be gone. All right, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of you saying this. I'm tired of you doing this. Let's just go one-on-one. Let's see what happens.
Do you think it would be cooler if they were in the same boat together doing it?
No. Or?
I don't think so, because that puts limitations. And, you know, Joe Thomas has done that for years, but I don't think it's been, you know, a situation that calls for animosity between the guys or anything. You know, don't restrict them. You know, don't restrict you might restrict or confine them in an area of a lake.
Right.
You know, to where maybe they cross each other or something like that. But, I think
it needs to be.
There's some cool matches out there that could take place.
But, Mark, it can't just be fishing. It has to be a triathlon. It has to be fishing, arm wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
What's the third one, guys? I'll let you guys decide. That.
You can put the octagon on a pontoon and just send it out.
No,
there.
Right, we
guys,
could do that
to
like
cage.
Beer chug.
No, a beer chug.
Yep, nailed it.
Beer chug.
You're right, dude. A pint. Who can pound a pint?
Yeah.
Arm wrestle. Yeah. Bass fishing.
Maybe it's like every fish you catch, you have to down a pint.
No, that's a separate competition.
That's part.
Oh my God.
Like, we just make it all interactive.
Like Pete, we can all chug a pint, but you see our very own Riz. He looks like a goddamn like a V8. You know, he's it's gone, dude.
It's gone.
Yeah. But how are you going to be flipping after your third fish catch?
You do that later.
Your third pint gets chugged.
After the arm wrestling, you chug to cure the tendonitis.
You're not. But, you know, here's something that's been kind of weird in being retired, you know, with the 20th being my last show. I've kind of sat back and truly kind of watched the game as a fan, not somebody thinking,
yes,
oh, my gosh, I got to get the scoop on this. You know, what did he do? How did he do it? You know, blah, 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 blah. And I've just seen some things that have taken place both on the Elite Series side and on the MLF side from a fan perspective. And I was just kind of like, okay, that's interesting. Okay.
Well, like what? You know, give us an example.
What specifically, dude?
Yeah, this is what
it's just, you know, just like what took place at Fork last week. You know, how many guys were over the century mark? What was it, four?
Yeah.
Four or five?
Four.
I thought it was three. Was it four? I
think
I think it was three.
Three. Swindle was one of them, though.
He was. Yeah. Swindle tied.
He tied with Paul.
And here's kind of the thing that really, really hit me last week was the fact that Swindle has been doing the Elite Series and been doing everything bass for a zillion years. But the dude's never won an Elite Series.
Oh, damn.
Never has.
Right.
And that, and I think that's the closest that he ever came to winning an Elite Series,
is
finishing
that, is
third.
That yeah, he wow. got Angler of the Year. That, yeah.
He's twice. Got two Anglers. Yeah.
Twice Angler of the
yeah.
Year. Gerald.
Well, he did. He did one of those Angler of the Years. He did when he was on the Citgo team.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember seeing him and who was the other guy? There were three guys on the Citgo team.
Chris D'Alfonso.
Our buddy's got one of them boats.
Anyway, I remember seeing him in Tulsa, but back then, I think it was only like four or five events, and that was it.
All right.
They didn't have you know, eight, nine events, whatever the number is now. But I just kind of thought, man, that is crazy as a fan to look at it, at Swindle and go, man, the dude's never won. He doesn't have a blue trophy. Yeah, he's been Angler of the Year, and he's had great seasons.
He's been to a million classics.
Wow.
He's won
two AOIs. But how difficult is it to win one of those blue trophies?
Good point.
When you have somebody like him, and he's never, you know, this is the closest that he's came.
Yeah, that's – well, you've been with the sport forever, and I just – I don't know if you got a chance to weigh in on it, but since your retirement, something sad and monumental has happened, and another visionary, the passing of Ray Scott.
Yeah.
I mean, I just like to hear your thoughts on it.
You know, it kind of hit hard because I don't think anybody that's in this game, no matter what your capacity is, what you do, be it from a participatory standpoint or from a media standpoint or from a selling standpoint of anything that is related in this industry, he was the reason that you're doing what you're doing. I was very, very fortunate. One of the few people, I think, from a media perspective that actually got to go to his place and fish and spend the night there and actually talk to the guy one-on-one. You know, this was
that's amazing.
15 years ago, probably 15, 16 years ago.
Right.
And to just pick his brain you tell me if you disagree with this statement, but there was a Ray Scott that was in Ray mode, and then there was a Ray Scott where he was just being really the guy that he was.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you talk to him and he was in Ray mode, it wasn't really a true indication of the amount of feelings and just what kind of a human being that Ray Scott really was. And to be able to sit in his home and just talk to him about stuff, not only in the industry, but some of the things that were kind of evolving in the industry and get his take on that, that'll be something that I never forget. So very, very fortunate to do that. And it was funny, too, because we actually got to fish on his lake and we were in Van Damme's boat. And I think there were like six or seven guys in Van Damme's boat trying to throw a football jig. You there?
Well, I can hear you, Mark. Are we good?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Oh, we're good. I thought our mics were muted or something.
Okay, no, that was weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, we actually got to fish on his private lake, and
as an angler? Is he a competent angler?
I never saw the guy fish, but he actually talked a little bit about, you know, fishing back in the day,
right?
And I think he was pretty confident. You know, he definitely had a lot of confidence. Hey, what didn't the man not have confidence in?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Dude, he wore an ascot. He wore an ascot, like, on his day off. You know what I mean? Yeah.
He was the ultimate pitch man. He pure enthusiasm. So much legislation he influenced the sport. He's monumental. But you got to fish the pond. Like,
I did.
It's like F1 stocked. What the heck was it?
It was crazy.
Was it amazing?
It was like he caught a 5-pounder and it was just like, man, put that thing back.
Got sold.
You want a picture? No, we're not going to get a picture. So, yeah.
Where is that? Is that in Alabama?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I believe. He sold it.
Yeah, a lawyer bought it. A lawyer bought it, Mark.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was out in the middle of nowhere. You'd never know that's where his home was. But I think every single person that is involved in this industry in whatever capacity, if Ray Scott doesn't take the risk, and he took a lot of risk, if he does not take the risk that he did early in his career, I don't think we're at the point that we're at today.
I agree, 100%, no question. Yeah. I was fortunate to, I got weighed in by Ray Scott for the first few years of my career, and he made you want to do it. Like, he was such an important part of making it exciting and interesting. I want to give a little props to Dave Mercer, because when we've been at a lot of the elite events this year, and I got to see Mercer, I really, you know, through the whole weighing everybody in, his enthusiasm, and man, he really does a heck of a job. Because I've been through the Ray Scott era. I know how amazing it was when he carried that. So I think Mercer's doing a pretty damn good job. But Ray was amazing. But I want to dive into this, because we were talking about this earlier, and it's, you know, a little bit controversial. Ray Scott catch and release into the world of bass fishing changed a lot of stuff. We started keeping live wells. Now we have a limit that we cull through. And we saw one of the tournaments come into a situation where they were faced with the culling of a deceased fish. And this is something that really the Bassmasters says no culling of a dead fish. That is a penalty that you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to cull around that fish. If you guys know what I mean, that are in the tournament game, even if he's a little tiny dead fish, you got to keep that one, because we're not going to put any more fish in harm's way, right? You got to keep that fish. But other tournament trails have no rules relating to this.
FLW never did, is what you were telling me.
They don't have a rule. They don't even address the situation.
And the MLF,
so you can big hold on,
that's not
true,
Pete. FLW had a rule about culling dead fish.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
No, absolutely, dude.
Okay. We saw it addressed just recently in video.
It was MLF Big Five.
And I have been in that situation where I have called the tournament directors live in that situation, not knowing what I was able to do. And the tournament director repeatedly said to me that we currently have no rules surrounding fish being dead or alive.
In 1854.
Hold on. FLW Everstart, that whole...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Ranger boat era.
Yeah.
They said they had no policy regarding dead fish.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that I'm factual on it, and I haven't read the rules or competed in a tournament.
But you called someone and said, I got a dead fish, and they said it's okay.
they said we have.
Did you check his pulse?
They have no rules about what you need to do with that.
So as long as the just happened,
you know.
Yeah, we saw something. BTC saw something, which brought this up for discussion.
Who'd you call? Shelly, and she was like, yeah, we have no rules. Shelly's his wife, by the way, guys.
You call that fish. Get that extra half.
Who was the tournament director? Did our guys imitate Bill?
Bill Taylor.
Yeah, Bill Taylor. Yeah, we have no rules, Pete.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they put a rule there. I don't know why, what their philosophy on it is or was, or whether it's changed.
So what happened?
Thank you. So in the MLF Big Five series, latest event on Gunnersville, the guy that actually won was on camera throwing a corpse overboard. And there's, according to some other people I've talked to, somebody that's finished very high, was in contention to win that event, there's no rule. There's no rule about that. That you can't.
I'm shocked.
I was shocked too.
I'm not. Who wants dead fish brought up, man?
Hold on a second.
Turn them things back. Get them out of sight.
But
get them out
saying,
of sight, dude.
That very well may be the
sometimes
original
they eat too much of the bait
that.
And they die, man. Get them out of there, dude. Don't bring them up.
Nobody would have a fish to weigh in St. Lawrence.
This is
in July when they go there, or August.
Am I bad for not caring? Like, turn them things back. Get them out. Let nature.
Can I do that for the pro-am?
No. What the hell's wrong with your people?
All dead fish.
You're supposed to try to keep.
I'm not saying like multiple.
Yeah, I know, but like
maybe you're allowed to have one dead one and let nature reconsume it.
But what if I like penalize you 5 pounds?
I think nature would like that.
I'm
sure fish would love it. If you what?
If you what? Bring a dead fish to the scales, I'm going to penalize you 5 pounds. I'm the one who has to get rid of the dead fish. Like, yeah. I mean.
Well, the point of the penalty is to make the, because we get
right.
consumed.
Accountability.
Right.
Accountability. You get consumed at the tournament, the pressures. You got to keep catching them, and you don't want to take the time to put the G-juice in, to make sure that you have ice, to right. you know, make sure your aerators are working.
Make sure you don't wait 10 minutes
turn on the right
hook
button.
On a Senko. and throat him. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. So this is the Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit we're talking about, right? Same tournaments. That's the Big Five. It's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the website, Rule 18.
Oh,
damn.
4 ounces will be deducted from the total weight for each dead bass presented for weigh-in.
Right.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with culling it during
yeah.
the event.
Yeah.
So you can cull it. But if you bring it in, you lose weight.
Right. Now, there's a lot of rules that say no culling of dead fish. It specifically
yeah.
says no culling
okay.
of dead fish.
We're talking about
back
this
when
story.
I remember reading that shit.
Yeah,
yeah right?
that's what
that
Bass
existed.
Says. So you have to make that yeah. call. Like, if it's still, like, you know, if there it doesn't look like it'll make it, but it's still flopping.
Yeah, right.
You
what determines
could
a dead fish?
That.
Right. You don't have a, what are things called? Like, the dactyloscope on his neck? You know,
yeah.
He's still moving, guys.
Stethoscope.
You see, he's his
tail. Doctor Scope.
I don't know. I thought stethoscope, but I wasn't sure if it was a microscope. I had a lot of whiskey. I'm sorry, Mark Jeffries.
It's all good.
We got you on here retired, and I'm fucking talking.
So should we have that rule, or do we not have that rule, Mark?
I thought the rule was in there. Part of the strategy that anytime I fished a tournament is if you hooked a fish. Throwing a Carolina rig or something like that, and he may not look that well and say it's a 3-pounder. Well, it's a judgment call. All right, he's alive now, but is he going to be alive an hour from now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I can catch a bigger fish than a 3-pounder, so here, I'm going to let you go to live another day.
Agreed. Hopefully. Get
That's
him out of
That's part of
there.
The strategy, is
yeah.
it not?
Yeah, throw yeah. him out of there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's interesting. And guys on the message board, if I'm wrong or, you know, not that I'm trying – I'm not a tournament director, but if that rule exists over there, let us know. But I want to dive in a little deeper on it.
I've got my guy fact-checking here. Yeah, it sounds like there's no rule from FLW about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And
I'm shocked. Yeah. Shocked.
Man,
flabbergasted?
I thought I remember seeing no culling of dead fish, dude.
Yeah, we've seen it so many times
right.
at all the rule. All
yeah.
the. I mean, even the little pot tournaments that we fish all usually mimic the bass rules, and it says right there. It says it on the Ike Foundation.
Yeah, because we just copied right. them and then just
yeah.
fix what needed to be relevant
and
for
also
our event. But
that Rojas beat Swindle by an ounce at Toledo Bend.
For a win.
Yes.
Wow.
Can we get
that
Luke
was
Duncan on as the guy from FLW to tell us whether or not that was a rule?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
All right.
Explain that rule. That's what he
Bill Taylor,
needs. Explain
that's
it.
I have a question.
Talk to me.
Okay. I want to dive into 2023. And like I said, I've just been looking at it from a fan's perspective, but I know there's a lot of other stuff going on because of what I've heard Matt talk about. But here's my question. Can you see Bass, and specifically Bass, going, you know what? We're going to help you guys out in 2023 from a cost perspective, you know, gas at $5-6 a gallon, whatever. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back-to-back events, and they're going to be, say, 60 to 100 miles apart as far as location to reduce the amount of cost because it seems like, and Becky, you can chime in on this one, it seems like that you do save money when you do have back-to-back events, but by creating those back-to-back events in close proximity, it would save the guys a lot of money. What are your thoughts on that?
I actually do have an opinion on this.
Oh.
I can't remember what year it was. It would have been a year that we had Falcon Amistad back-to-back. So what was that? Maybe like 08 or 09? Somewhere in that realm. But they had a year where they did two tournaments back-to-back. And then you'd have, you know, so many weeks off. And
didn't
then
they try to do that in California?
Yeah.
Well, they did that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, they usually
that
always
was
do
many
it with.
Years ago.
Yeah, they always do that with California. They'll like back it up to something. So they'll do either the Delta and
Clear Lake,
or the last time we did Delta, and then we went to Havasu.
Okay.
But they had a year where they did it, and I'm telling you, it was exhausting that second tournament, but it worked because it's hard if you're at a tournament and then you have 2 weeks off and then you're all the way over here. I mean, when the schedule's all over the place and you have weeks between, it's not that simple. We're not a sport where we've got like private jets and drivers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you don't get to just go home. It's like, well, where do I get my rig to if I want to even try to get home, or do I drive all the way home? Or I remember that year being a lot easier. I mean, it just made sense.
Right.
Pete, two examples would be Toledo Bend and Sam Rayburn, back-to-back weeks.
Right.
Another one would be Table Rock and Lake of the Ozarks.
Right.
You know, two great, really good fisheries that are close proximity, but then you have it back-to-back. All of them have good cell service because that's – you have to have that now with the way that the tournaments are covered. But the only reason I bring this up is I see pain right now as a fan. I see it in a lot of those guys that are not – they're not earning checks. And those guys that are not earning checks, when you're paying $5 a gallon, $4.50, whatever it is, $6 a gallon, that is a major, major pinch from a financial standpoint, because most of those guys, if they're not having success, they're kind of the lower tier to middle tier guys. And I think as an organization – you might want to take a look, because I don't think it's getting any better soon based upon everything that I have researched and talked to. And, you know, I'm right in the middle of energy country here, and we have a lot of – I have quite a few friends that are heavily involved in the energy industry, and it's going to be a while. So in order to take a little bit of the pain away from the anglers but still – put a really, really good product and give the anglers an opportunity to showcase their skills. I almost suspect that this is something that really needs to be thrown on the table for next year.
I think you could throw it on the table. We could all sit here and come up with tons of lakes that you could do back to back. I mean, Oneida, Thousand Islands, like there's so many out there you could do, but here's the reality of it. And this is going to sound callous and everyone can say Becky's whatever.
an elitist.
No.
deep state.
I'm going to say this. Everyone's going to be like, oh, she's...
Best comment on the message board wins.
So...
Becky is...
The reality is... The reality is... Bass is going to be and is more concerned with getting top dollar from that city or that county and coming when they want us there over making sure it's easy and helping out the guys. A reality.
It's a business decision.
It's a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to take care of their business and not the anglers.
Well,
it's just the way it is. Like, I think that's a brilliant idea. And I think that years ago when they did it, it was awesome. But at the end of the day, I think these counties, these communities have less and less money, and you are more at the mercy of them and whatever they're telling you, when they want you, how it works. And I mean, the guys are going to start practicing on Memorial Day. Do you think that was a good decision? I don't think so. How many pleasure boaters are you going to have out on Monday? And these guys are trying to practice for a tournament to win $100,000.
Agreed. Like, it's always been stepping on the holidays over the years. I remember. Yeah. I remember that well. And
dude, worse than that is there's a freaking soccer tournament on every holiday that destroys families. freaking soccer tournament. Get over it, man.
Nobody's playing soccer.
But knock it off.
My point is that you're not going to change this.
Have you noticed a difference? Because when the split happened, there, especially I noticed with Bass, like they have this wonderful like angler manager that talks to the people or talks to the anglers, and they're more closely connected with the anglers. Did you notice a difference since Mike came back from what it was like before to the way it is now?
I'm not as connected. Mm-hmm. That's probably the easiest way for me to say it. I mean, I find it very interesting. I find Facebook has made it so all the wives can communicate, and I think that's really nice, but it's not me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? When I was out there before, I had my group of people. Like, we survived together. We traveled together. We raised babies together. We were stuck in campgrounds. Like, yeah. We looked out for each other, and those were true bonds. And I had other people that I was on the road with that I thought were lovely people. I mean, this is like school. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you have those people.
They were forged in the foxhole.
You know what I mean? Like, you were acquaintances with yeah. people, but, like, they weren't your close-knit people. But there was no issues with those people. I find that now it's like everyone is supposed to be best friends. And that's a weird thing to me. You know what I mean? Like, I like everybody, but...
But not really.
No, I do. I don't dislike anyone. I'm trying to not that's have funny. This come across wrong. Yeah. But I feel like I can't figure out what that energy is right now. I think it's wonderful if all these people truly are just like, oh, my God, we love each other, and we're this one big family. But we're competing. You know what I mean? And I'm going to look out for you. If you need help, if I see you on the side of the road, like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to help you. Like, I don't have an issue with you. But I'm also – we don't live in a world where you're best friends.
It's like you don't want to be fake. You want to be real.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Is it a little bit of, like, the safe space nerfed generation meeting, like, the Generation X?
Or
maybe
people just putting up a front.
But she was saying everybody thinks everybody's supposed to be like kumbaya.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's all sit around the same campfire.
Yeah, yeah. So you see the comments on social media like, oh, you know, there's no respect anymore. There's also gamesmanship. And like we talked about earlier with Gerald and Greg, I feel like, and I wasn't there, but I feel like Gerald pulled a veteran move on him. He muscled him.
He Ric Flaired him, dude.
Yeah, but that's going
on forever.
And Gerald
went straight.
But now we all get to watch it.
It's going on forever, but now
we all get to watch
it,
and people get to have opinions.
Right. Yep. And get so mad about grow up.
Hey, I want to weigh in on this because, like it was pointed at, Jake pointed out earlier, I started fishing in the 1700s, and I saw gas prices that were $5 a gallon.
Pete actually saw the dinosaurs that turned into
gas.
The gasoline.
He watched one melt into oil.
That's right.
Saw this pterodactyl. He said, "Oh my God, look at him!"
It happened faster right than you think.
Right into 95 Ultra.
But Pete remembers quicksand.
We had ethanol free too.
we had the 250s, right, and they were not the advanced 250 horsepowers that we have today that are way better on fuel consumption than what was it 10 or 15 years ago when we had $4 a gallon it changed the way that I competed and I believe in a really negative way, especially when you're talking about going to the Great Lakes and I vividly remember that I'm paying $4.50 a gallon. And I've got to drive out to the Pelee Island from Lake St. Clair to...
Out of Sandusky.
Yeah, it's 50 gallons times... That's $250 a day, $220 a day just for that boat ride. And every single day, it absolutely wipes you out. So
Pete,
ways around it.
Remember when Everstart launched us out of friggin' Cleveland 2 years in a row? That was awesome, wasn't it?
That was
Everyone
awesome.
Had to go like 100 miles like...
Dude, the
West.
The greatest thing from that tournament, the wind blew, and one of the dudes wanted to run to Pelee Island from Cleveland in like 5, 6, 7 footers.
Oh.
And he just was going to go, that's it. And he drives, and I was talking to him, and he goes, I'm 3.5 hours into my drive and realize I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And there's no point in continuing because I won't have any fishing time. So he drove 3.5 hours in 5-foot waves, turned around and drove 3.5 hours back and put his boat on the trailer.
Yep. I feel
never made a cast.
I feel for his co-angler.
Oh, my God.
That dude got screwed.
Right.
Wow. He drew the short straw.
Pete, let me ask you this. In challenging economic times like we're currently in and all indications are they're going to continue,
mm-hmm.
Does that impact, because what you mentioned, that a lot of guys may fish different because they simply are not willing to spend the money because they may or may not have it. But what I want to know is, does the temperament change? In other words, where somebody might be a little more, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you can have it, you know,
right.
Whatever. Now, because their expensive has increased so much, there's going to be more confrontations due to the fact that they're not going to give up that area because they know that that area is going to produce and they need the money.
I believe you're right. I believe you're on it because there's a lot of things when you're out competing that can change the way you compete and apply pressure. They apply pressure to what's going on. A lot of times it's personal relationships, you know, can really apply pressure to what the decisions that you're making, how you're competing. But financial pressure, oh my gosh, it's a massive thing. Yeah. That is definitely going to ratchet it up because guys are, you know, I've been in that situation. If I don't get a check, I don't pay my mortgage. So guess what? The cuffs are off, man. The gloves are off. You know, it's like I got to get it done. That was personal relationships. I got them confused.
Are you kidding me?
Got them mixed up.
Were they
fluffy? Hey, Mark. We're talking about. Hey, Mark. You think you're cutting edge with an apron? Pete is next level with cuffs, bro. Apron
around with apron. They have zebra pattern.
Zebra pattern cuffs. They're my favorite.
Oh man, I gotta find these on Amazon.
Oh. Wow. Oh my gosh.
We talk about handcuffs?
That's what he's talking about. I meant to say the gloves are off and I said the cuffs.
He didn't say nothing. You brought it up. You said cuffs. He's just sitting there in his cooking apron minding his business.
I caught my faux pas.
Freudian slip.
But it will definitely apply pressure. Cuffs or gloves. You know?
Yeah. Or zip ties. Yeah.
and I think we'll see more fights. I think especially the guys that, man, there's so much going on because what else is applying pressure now, especially on the elites, I see it. This transition has happened. So now you got to average your, and I don't know how it works, to be honest, the details, but you got to requalify, right? Yeah. So there's a whole herd of people out there right now that are facing the chopping block if they don't get it done this year. And that's going to be applying pressure. You add that with, and those are probably the same guys that are battling the financial pressures, right? Because if you're not making checks, you know, you're not getting points, you're looking at not requalifying, and you're not getting as many checks as you need. So yeah, I think we'll see the kumbaya error maybe a little bit less in 2023.
Hey, Mark, okay. I have a follow-up to your question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You being a sports traditionalist and a hardcore coach, what are your thoughts on maybe like introducing hockey fights to fishing? Like, you know, guys arguing over a spot, get on the front deck, lock up jerseys, and bang it out.
Yeah, go in the penalty box for 30 minutes or whatever.
MLF, they put you in a penalty box for letting a fish touch the deck. Why not, you know, for touching a guy in the face?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey,
you want to increase the popularity of the game?
Fighting,
throw a
dude. Didn't that happen? Something like that happened with Ish Monroe
back? It was the worst fight ever between him and Keith. It was like the worst fight ever.
They took fighting out of hockey. They ain't letting it in fishing.
No. Nah. Oh, I know, wait, but imagine how awesome that would be.
Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
No, they made
what are you talking about? I went to a game and saw fights every 2 seconds.
It's so punitive.
I don't know. Yeah. I stopped watching
a long
time ago.
Well, you didn't go to NHL. You might have went to, like, Phantoms.
No, we went this year.
No, it's not out. In fact, there's a E60 special coming out the first week of June, and I'm all about the hockey. You know, my team, they got beat up by the Avalanche. They're out, the Blues. But anyway, there's a documentary coming out in June that features the clash between the Detroit Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche back in the Claude Lemieux situation where he cold-cocked. Yeah. And there is hatred, true hatred, still with some of these guys. There's a great promo that's out. It's like a two-minute promo. And I can't wait to see it.
His eyes are mini clock, right?
Yeah. I highly recommend everyone watch Goons on Netflix.
That's great. That is
right, Mark?
Great,
fucking
great
yeah,
film.
Dude.
What is that?
Oh, it's about enforcers. It's
really?
It's an NHL enforcer documentary on Netflix. Yeah.
Oh, it's a doc?
It's amazing, dude. Oh.
It's really, really good.
It's the best one.
Mark, really Mark, who are the who are they following?
What's that?
in this documentary?
Oh, Pro Bear, Ty Domi.
Oh my goodness gracious.
The bangers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, long time. They they show the fight that Pro Bear had.
It's Probert. Go ahead.
The dude from Vancouver that goes down, and I can't remember his name, is one of the greatest fights of all time. You know, but Bob Probert, he ended up, they go in depth a little bit because he had so many issues when he got out of hockey.
Yeah.
You know, he's living on the street.
Yeah, he's all messed up.
Yeah.
Dave Tiger Williams. Up. Tiger Williams?
He was Kings.
Chris
Tiger
Simmons.
Williams Dave, was from the Dave Kings. Dave Tiger Williams.
Right.
He was from the Kings, dude.
Who?
Tiger Williams.
He played for Toronto.
I thought he was L.A. Kings, man. Whatever.
No, he was Toronto.
All right.
Dave Schultz, obviously you guys know all
well,
about.
Well, from the Flyers, we have our bangers from the Broad Street Bullies, man.
Yeah. Some of the most greatest epic hockey ever played, especially against the Russians.
So, Mark, I live like a mile from the bar they all that team used to hang out at called Rexy's Bar. It's still standing today.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, they would all go there. Yeah, dude, I'm sure the broads they smashed were all dead now. But I mean, like the waitresses and stuff, they ain't around no more. But the owner, like, it's still in the family. It's still the same family, dude.
Hey, are there? And this is something because I haven't been out there for a while. Are there still fishing groupies?
Where?
I've never met one.
Like, where, dude?
50-year-old
on
tour?
Yeah. Like, no? I don't know. Maybe like, I don't know
Ryan,
about all
what do
that.
You know? You know anything about that? B to the C?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not out there.
There's more groupies in bowling than bass fishing.
Talk to Panger.
Yeah. There's more broads worried about your hole size than the bowling ball, bro. I'm not talking about
that. That's funny.
There were groupies when we were covering the Elite Series, man.
Really?
Groupies show up.
I guess. I don't know.
There were always 30 to 50-year-old married men.
Yeah.
You know? From Alabama.
That's what most of them were.
With a belly button you could boil soup in.
Wow.
I wonder, though, Mark, is that, that's crazy. Everything's changed. There's a lot going on out there. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that, you know?
No groupies, huh?
Yeah. I only had one that I had to scare off.
Really?
Was a guy stalking you?
No, there was a girl.
Oh.
Mike.
I mean, you're all over the thing. I don't know. It's on you.
Let's hear about it, Beck.
Good.
No, there's nothing to talk about. There was just one who was a groupie, and that's back when there was MySpace. You guys, this was so long ago.
So what happened?
MySpace?
Yeah, this was back when MySpace was the deal.
So what happened?
Wow. I don't know. I just made my presence known, and she drifted off within a matter of months.
Months.
It was a prolonged internet war. Psyops.
Well, she tried to play the friend card. I've told you guys this story.
No,
like
we
the
never
random
heard this
people
story.
That have ever, like, they've called because Mike's phone number says, because his voicemail's always full, so it says to call my number. And I would get, like, these women that would call.
Damn!
And they would claim that they, like, they used to work for Mike, and I was like,
bitch!
I'd be you know, Jennifer, hey. Your, like, worker called.
You ever
know,
ask like, for their full names? Like, eventually when you got schooled once, you could Google them bitches, see what they look like?
No!
Like, oh, my God.
No, I didn't care that much. But I just have a couple of random stories of, like, people that would call, and I would just call Mike up laughing. I'd be like, ha, ha, ha.
You are so confident because most women,
right.
Like, most women, if it's, like, an ugly one, like, I don't care, but if it's, like, a hot one, be like, who's this bitch on the phone? You'll be like,
this
who
bitch,
is this?
She thinks she cute.
Google images. I saw her.
Wow. Hey, you know who did have groupies at one stop that we went when we were on the Elite Series? Harold Allen. Harold Allen had some groupies.
Really?
This is a quick story. Real quick story. This was back when we were doing live coverage from establishments, be it a sports bar, a restaurant, you know, wherever I could find an internet connection that would have a crowd, that's where we would do it at. Well, this was the stop at what is right by Florence, just to the west of Lake Wilson Lake. Is that Pickwick?
It's Pickwick. Yeah, it's Pickwick.
Pickwick. Okay, it was at Pickwick. Like, the only place that I could find was a biker bar. And I don't even know if the biker bar is still there. But I called the guy up, and he was like, oh, yeah, man, come on. We'll have it set up. So the first day I go and I set up, and you know, Harold and Matt are with me, and we go in there, and you talk about guys and girls partying. Oh my gosh. Suddenly they became fishing fans. Well, the second night there were more people there. The third night it was standing room only. And the final night where we had, I think it was the one that Tommy Biffle won. The final night, jam packed. The guy said he's never seen this place this crowded on a Sunday. Jam packed. Harold is being Harold. And this is no joke. The next thing I know, I'm doing it. I say, hey, we're going to take a break. Come back. As soon as we take a break, I turn to my right, and this woman is all over Harold with no top on, just getting after it.
That's what's up.
All right? Heck yeah. I mean, just...
This is what bass fishing
just
needs.
Just getting after it.
And I agree.
Was like, oh, my gosh. And he didn't really know what was going on. And then just like that, before we came back live, she just kind of wandered off. And then
that's
we got
amazing.
Done. And here she came again. And Biffle was there because we had Biffle come by. And we actually interviewed Biffle while all this was going on. And, you know, he's like, damn, man. I haven't seen anything quite like that before. Huh. Might need to cut him. Yeah. So one of the more memorable times that we had when we were doing that, all that on location live stuff during the tournament. Yeah, man. She loved some Harold. She loved the legend.
We need to go to biker bars.
She's, yeah, she's lucky that wasn't a prime BTC, because 9 months later she would have had a carpenter.
Wow. Back in the day, we
25
we did,
and single
we did
BTC.
Some gigs at some crazy right. places, but it was the only place that we could find internet. So we did what we had to do.
So you and young Matt didn't have your share of groupies following BTL around?
Matt had. He was the nature boy for a reason.
Well, he's a young, handsome kid. You know what I mean?
You know, there's many stories. And when that point in time comes, that those will be shared. But now's not the time, because the Grasshopper is doing very well. And, you know, he's got a house now, man. He's a home.
I saw that.
Wow.
And he got a John Deere tractor.
Hey, Mark, being that we're talking about groupies, I want to ask you, in the obscure world of groupies, who has a higher caliber of groupie, the bowling community or the bass fishing community?
Ooh. I would say the bowling community.
Wow.
Dang!
That's bad.
Wow.
Yo, take that.
Show up.
All you young stupid-ass single anglers that think you're going to bankroll mom and dad's money in this and bang a bunch of hot chicks. The bowling community's got you smacked, clapped per fucking Mark Jeffries, dude. The pro of both industries. He knows them both.
Yeah. Man.
So look bowling, at that. Huh?
Who knew?
Bowling. There's a lot of bowling groupies. There really are.
I need to go to a is it called a bowling match? A bowling tournament? What do we call this?
Tournament.
It's a tournament.
Yeah.
Tournament.
Yeah, well, see, they're set up to have groupies, because they have bars there.
Music.
They have drink music.
Disco lights.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
We need – that's
balls.
What we need. We need disco lights at the weigh-in.
Becky, why don't we have like a Ike Foundation bowling competition? How many people show up? Because girls don't want to fish, but they'll throw a bowl down the alley. You know?
Hey, you know who is a really, really good bowler? And I haven't witnessed yet.
Who?
But everything that he tells me, Randy Blockett.
Now, he don't
In fact, it. Randy Blockett said that if he had a choice and the opportunity, that during his time, he actually would have tried to go out and be on tour on the PBA.
Is that the typical demeanor of bowlers like that?
No. No.
Okay, yeah. I didn't think so.
No.
Yeah.
No. There's some iconic people, and I know, Mike, he spent some time with Kyle Troop.
Yeah.
That was cool. That did a lot to open up some stuff, you know.
Send more
I got,
bass groupies to bowling.
Probably the number one one-handed bowler in the world. His name is Chris Prather. Chris Prather is actually sponsored by Strike King now.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Hmm. Yeah, take our money, too.
Yeah.
Do you
crossover.
Do you do that two-hand bowling thing?
No. I am very, very against two-handed bowling, even though...
I didn't know that's a thing. What is two-handed bowling,
Pete? Man, they got a hand on in the holes, there's and they got one in front.
Holes. There's only two holes.
So they you, go, got, you hold yeah. it like...
I've
you
seen
hold,
three holers.
You hold it like this.
And your hand's on the other side.
I'm not trying to be gross.
And you...
Ah, so the...
Yeah, I, like I'm telling. Between we got the guy.
Between your legs.
With Kyle Troop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle Troop won over $500,000 bucks last year.
Dang.
On tour.
Yeah, he just won. I saw.
And he,
it's
yeah,
just
he
a few
just
weeks
won
ago,
the
won.
PBA playoffs. Won yeah. another $100,000.
And didn't catch a single fish.
I mean, shoot. No. I usually no. just grab the Becky, big, heaviest black one I could find and send it down the middle.
Or the no. 8-pounder that you can get
question.
One finger
Does
in.
Does Mike still have
you can spin it.
Those pants?
Take out a couple seasons.
Oh, yeah.
When he did the thing with
oh,
Kyle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we still have the pants. They're amazing pants.
Is this guy Kyle Kyle's a pro angler or is he a bowler?
He's a bowler, but like he dresses all like flashy and bright and crazy as an afro.
Big afro, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Really cool guy. That was Stella's favorite person that she met. She thought he
Good
was
energy,
so
huh?
much fun. And he had gotten a shower, so his hair was real normal and tight. And he told her during dinner, he said, remind me at the end of dinner, I'll go into the bathroom and I'll pick it out for you.
Dang.
And so and at the end of dinner, she was like, the hair. And he was like, oh, okay, I forgot, you know. Jesus. And he went and he like picked it all out for her. And she thought he was so much
oh my
fun.
God.
Loved him. Vegas's favorite was Marina Alex, the golfer.
Attaboy.
Because yeah. Vegas wanted to golf with her here in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So he rigged something with, you know, the club, but he put a reel on it and he tied a string to the ball because he didn't want to go get the ball. So he'd hit it and then he would like reel it back in. And then he'd hit the ball again. He'd reel it back
oh,
in.
Wow.
And the two of them sat there for like an hour, and she taught him how to like swing. So they had a blast together.
That's cool. Yeah.
So are those shows still out there? Are they on YouTube? Can you still watch them?
You
Becky?
Cannot. You cannot.
Yeah, that movie is called The Toy with Richard Pryor and Jackie Gleason. Mark.
Wow.
Oh, come on. That was amazing, guys. Get out of here.
Wow.
No, I've actually held on tight to them because we fully own them, and so I would like to work with another network. Long story, but no, they're not out there.
Okay.
I got nothing, but no.
You got nothing.
I got a fishing question, if I'm allowed.
Mark. Oh, man. Yeah. Come on. We were having so much fun.
I'm sorry. Well, he gave up 6 months ago on the show, and now he can't ask him questions and anything like that. Did you end up catching a fish on the Color 7 bait yet?
I've only thrown it one time.
Okay.
I threw it on Monday when I caught that 8-7. And, yes, I caught multiple 2- and 3-pounders, but nothing really big yet.
Awesome.
The topwater bite was not on. It was crazy. Pete, have you ever seen? Listen to this. The wind's blowing 5 to 10, cloudy all day long, great-looking watercolor, shad active all over the place. They would not be aggressive on a topwater. That's like a perfect topwater condition.
It sure is.
They wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted the crankbait. That's what they wanted.
Well, they never listen to us, Mark. You got to give them what they want.
Be thankful that there's even anything to want anything, because here in Jersey, it's throw a stupid Senko and sit around, do nothing, catch a couple. And
no, eight. But that number 7 bait is amazing.
What
and,
is it?
And, right, hang on. I think I got
– no.
There's only 2 been made. Hang on.
What? So what happened is Frank Scalish, the mm-hmm. you know, used to be Elite Series guy,
mm-hmm.
he paints for Lornet. And when Mark had his incident, came back to the show, Pangrack wanted him to say, you know, my favorite color is 7, and most people think that his brain's all messed up, stuff like that. So yeah. Frank Scalish
still is.
Frank Scalish took matters into his own hands and made a color on a spook called Color 7.
Yeah, here it is right here. I don't know if
so
you
can like
see
it. So it's like the Area 51 of fishing.
Could be.
Hold it there, Mark.
There you go.
Oh. Man, Mark got that
though.
Shit on command. Dang.
Okay, but look what it says right there on the front.
7.
Don't believe the hype.
Number 7.
Number 7.
Dang.
That's a crazy looking spook.
That's the first one that he made, and he made me a second one, and that's the one that I've been using. And yes, I have caught several fish on it, but nothing big yet. Nothing big. But yeah, it sounds great. Looks great in the water. have you guys ever seen this whole thing? Yeah, it was the whole number seven thing. But what happened was I was in Wichita where my in-laws live. And they had an old, and I am all about going into these kind of bizarre, off the grid bait and tackle stores.
Oh God, yeah.
Those are amazing to go into. And there's one in Wichita, Kansas, and it's weird because it's right downtown. It's just off the grid, kind of downtown Wichita. And I went in there and I was looking around, and man, it was just a mess. But I see these things that look like Zara Spooks hanging on the end cap. And I'm like, what are those? They don't have any hooks in them, but they have they have rings to put two sets of treble hooks on there. So I asked the guy, what are these? And he goes, well, they're kind of like a Zara Spook, but the catfish guys use these things to keep their bait up off of the bottom.
Oh, wow.
It's like, really? He goes, you ever seen anybody use them as a topwater? And he goes, yeah, every now and then somebody will come in. Well, I have this thing about the color orange. I like orange. Orange is one of my favorite colors. And they had these really bizarre, I mean, construction cone orange looking pieces of the catfish floaters. So I bought like six of them. I was like, here, give them to me. So when Matt and I had our one-on-one battle that we have every year, and we haven't had it this year yet, I had it on the deck of the boat, and Matt comes over, and he's like, what the hell is that? I go, dude, it's kind of like a Zara Spook. And he goes, you seriously think that you're going to catch something on that? Well, we filmed the entire day. Like, I had a camera, and he had a camera. I threw that turd for 3.5 hours and never had a blow-up. Never had a blow-up. So Frank made fun of me, and he goes, look, man, he goes, I'm seriously going to paint you something that has orange in it that you're going to be able to catch fish with. Because how many people, and I wish I had one of those, I'd show you. But those things, they look like a construction cone. They were that orange.
Wow.
They had a little bit of black on there. But have yet to catch a topwater fish using the construction cone. And Frank took care of me on that, put a little kind of orange looking bones on the side of this spook. But yeah, man, I caught the heck out of them, just nothing big on Monday.
Keep at it with the orange. I know George Cochran on Bass U on his retirement seminar said that his top secret color on stick baits is orange.
Really?
Orange.
Yes, yeah. Sir. One piles money on it.
Let me ask you this.
No, they got the Yamamoto makes that color. I'm sorry, Mark. What were you saying?
I wanted to ask. I want an opinion. It could be short or long. It doesn't matter. Is color more of a confidence thing or an application thing?
Application.
I'll go first. So many fishing pressure to me is such an important factor in color selection, you know, because I think without fishing pressure, you know, the color choices are simplistic and very, very easy. But once you add a 250 man field frothing the water up for a week, you've got to start going outside of your comfort zone on color. To be able to trigger strikes, give fish something that they haven't seen or don't commonly see. So, you know, that's what, you know, fishing pressure to me changes my process on color.
Let me just back that up real quick. Braz, you remember we talked about earlier trespass fishing?
Yeah.
You remember when we tried to go to Davis Mill one time and there was a derby there and there was no place to park? And I just, like, looked on a map. This is before, you know, smartphones and stuff, and we rolled on Shepherd's Mill. You remember
maybe,
that?
Maybe.
Had the little boat, sneaky boat. We threw the boat in Shepherd's Mill back before anybody could get on that, and we were catching the hell out of them. They were all cookie cutters. But we were catching them so good. I had a slider head with a 4-inch Berkeley Power Lizard on, black. Just catching them. I catch one. He comes up. He throws the worm. I take the fish off the hook or whatever. And I'm pawing at. I'm in the little bass, the 10-foot boat with the bucket seats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm pawing at my worm to try to bring it back to put it back on the hook. And I got, I don't know, two feet of line from the top of the eye to the naked slider head, jig head with a hook, and I caught a bass at the boat with, you know, on a bare hook. So no pressure, they'll eat anything. Lots of pressure, you got to mess with color. There it is.
Pressure is key. Power bait, Paul.
Talk about
color.
Well, I feel like it's also a confidence thing. I mean, yes, it's an application, but it's also confidence. Like with me, give me a red shad, anything, I'll catch them. You know what I mean? Red shad Senko, yes. Red shad power worm. It's just, and it doesn't matter what, doesn't matter the clarity of the water. It could be muddy water, it could be clear water, it could be cedar water. I'll get them. You know what I mean? It's my confidence thing. But then, in clear water, I like to throw more natural colors. You know what I mean? Something like, there's a lot of yellow perch, and they're a good forage fish in the ponds I fish. A lot of yellow perch color crankbaits or topwaters. And then in the muddy waters, I love chartreuse. Chartreuse kills it in the muddy water. You know, I just throw this little 2-inch chartreuse grubs, slay crappie and bass in those muddy waters all day. You know, so it's give and go, a little bit of both, you know.
You said it all.
Yeah.
Especially red shad. I love that. Mark, when's the last tournament that's been won on red shad? Was that Brian Kirchhoff?
Yep.
Might have been.
That's what I would say.
That and Tequila Sunrise. Is
yes,
it?
Yes. That's the first power. Yeah, that's the first power arm I ever used.
That was an old Copra color Tequila Sunrise.
That's right. Becky's melting down right now.
Motor oil.
Apparently, we're having a BU.
No, I'm...
I tried to get it like live, and you guys all side at me. Let's talk about colors.
On that orange turd for 3.5 hours.
It's all went silent and weird on me, dude. I'm not doing it no more. I'm sorry. Red chat, Power Bay, Paul. What do you got?
All right, here. See, I'm actually interviewing you guys. I'm like,
you were the master.
I know. You just fell into that, and we all got lazy, and we're like, just let Mark.
Just let Mark in. All right, here's the next thing, and then I think I'm out of questions, but. What is going to be the next big thing in this game? What is one thing? It could be technology. It could be a format. It could be a motor. What is going to be the next big thing? Because think about the transition that this game has went through over the last 20 years.
I think propulsion, Mark. Propulsion is easily the next thing that's going to happen.
Electric.
Whether it's an electric propulsion or some form of more, you know,
that's coming. It's
consolidated combustionable propulsion, but it's going to be that, dude.
Propulsion.
What'd I say?
Compulsion?
Did I say
you said
compulsion?
It right. I think you said it right.
I thought I said propulsion. Whatever.
That's a good.
God damn it.
That's definitely going to affect things. It's going to change things dramatically.
You're drinking alcohol and you're going to rip on me, dude. Hey, can I have a beer, Jake? What are you doing?
Brian, what about you? What are your thoughts, Brian? No thoughts?
Yeah, but no, I don't know. It's got to be with the electronics. There's another level to it. There's got to be. It's pretty insane right now, but this ain't the end of it. And I think that's where it's at.
I mean, we've seen the crappie anglers with like 3-foot long screens.
Yeah.
And mounts that are 4 feet high.
You're awesome.
It's bro. That's got to be coming into the bass fishing game.
Yeah.
You know, pretty soon.
Yeah.
But that sonar, that forward facing sonar has been the big change, right? That's been the monumental. Well, first it was Spotlock. Spotlock right. Really revolutionized stuff. Power power poles.
Anchor.
Yeah.
Yep.
But what's changed in terms of propelling the boat? Nothing.
We still use the coffee can.
Here's what's changed. It started out 150 horsepower restriction, which would be awesome right now in the fuel scenario that you're talking about, Mark. The 150s don't burn anything. But they went from 150s to unlimited. And that's where it's stayed.
Have you ever seen the Tesla pickup truck skull drag an F-250?
No.
Dude, the propulsion that these electric vehicles generate. Now, I'm not like trying to be all pro electric shit here, okay? But I'm just saying, like, that is where the front's going to be on outboards. What else is left? You're going to see one more fish on your stupid electronics. You know what I mean?
I'm actually with Dave on this one. I think they're...
Well,
they're
how is that going to help you catch more fish?
Exactly.
It's not, but he said technologically, what is the next advancement in fishing?
Yeah.
That will be the advancement because it's been so stale for so long.
Right.
Well, Torquedo makes like the equivalent of like a 250 or whatever. Yeah. It's just ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
But
how big is it, though, I'm wondering?
The motor's not all that. It's you know, the deal's the battery.
Here's
a lot of battery.
Yeah.
May I weigh in on this?
Yes.
Propulsion.
You're the host.
Here's the deal. Here's what it's going to be right here.
There's
a new bait category coming. It's coming. And it's going to be based on forward-facing sonar technology. It's going to be a lure category we haven't seen yet. Oh. It's going to move in a way that is trackable on forward-facing sonar better. Because now we can see the reaction in real time, and the tools that we've been using we're going to see some of them replaced by baits that do a better job at triggering strikes quicker and more consistently.
It's going to do
from
less,
those blobs.
It's going to do less than a Senko.
You're going to have cameras on the bait,
Pete.
And you're going to watch the fish actually.
Bait's
going
to be interactive with the electronics.
They already are. They already are now, but we're using existing bait technology now.
See, now how far ahead was Ike when he said it looks like a jig but swims like a crankbait?
Oh, I remember that. What event was that?
It was like 30 years ago. I don't know, 20 years ago, dude.
Was that Lake Norman?
I don't know, but it was a long time ago.
It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been Lake Norman when he won his boat as an amateur.
Yeah.
And he got pressed on stage. What hell?
Tell me, you young Italian.
Yeah, from the north.
Yeah,
damn
you
Yankee.
Young Yankee Italian.
What'd
you catch him on? Get out of the sea. Go off stage.
Swimming a jig through the timber.
Wow.
Swimming a jig. What do you think?
I'm gonna make a bold prediction, then I'm done asking questions. But I will not be alive when this happens. But I truly believe this is going to happen. I think at 20 years from now, we're going to have one organization to fish for guys and girls that want to be professionals in this game. I think we're going to have one organization. I also think that there are going to be franchise owners. There is truly going to be a league of which 8 to 10 anglers are actually paid as a franchise player to compete against each other in some type of professional league format. In other words, you might have Birmingham going up against Atlanta, or you know, Philadelphia going up against Oklahoma City. What's left in the tournament organization, guys? Because think about it. The same thing has been done for many, 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 many years, over 50 years. Yeah, what MLF did with the whole catch and release and all that, all right, great. You know, it is what it is. But there has to be some type of evolution take place in this game to, number one, have guys and girls make more money doing the professional game. Because right now I think there's the 10 percenters. That's what I call them. I mean, there's 10%
of
the guys out there that truly are making a very, very good living doing this game. I think the next evolution of this game is to take it to a professional league format, of which you have a commitment of 8 companies or 8 very wealthy individuals that take this game to the next level and create a true professional franchised organization to where 8 to 10 players actually compete each other through a schedule throughout the year. Thoughts?
All right. So to quote Pete Glusick, here's where you're wrong.
are you taking the cuffs off?
The cuffs are off. Good, cuffs are off.
I don't say that. It's
going to be 8 to 10 people on YouTube making videos. No one ever actually catches a fish. They just talk about it. They have war. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be on YouTube. No one actually fishes.
All right. Here's my opinion on it. And by 2030, if people don't wake up, the World Economic Forum, led by Klaus Schwab, there will be no professional bass fishing because there will be nobody emitting carbon emissions the way you bass anglers do with your freaking boats and your trucks. They will eliminate that if you don't wake up.
I think Dave's right. I changed my answer.
Dave took the cuffs off.
Yeah. Becky, you got anything on this one?
No.
No, nothing.
No. No. I don't I actually like what everybody's saying. I think it's all very interesting. I feel like something has to change, but I'm also looking at a sport that just hasn't changed.
I'm a drunk Pollock, barely graduated high school.
Well, I will say the live was amazing. That was an amazing change that captured a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure.
Just being able to watch them argue and catch and see what they're really using and how they're using it.
Yeah, but the sport's still the same. The template's still the same.
Well, so is football. Right?
Yeah, but
so is baseball.
Money.
I like to go with Brian, believe it or not. There was a poll that came out. I don't never agree with Brian. MTV put a poll up on their story about who fishes tournaments, and it was like 80% of the people on there said no, and then something came up about YouTube, and it was like 80% of the people say yes. So in MLB and NFL, you can't get famous in those leagues by being on a different platform other than on the field or making waves in social media. But most of their money and most is made on the field. In fishing, you can make the money on YouTube just going out for 10 hours a day, coming home, sitting on your computer, editing a video, rather than going out fishing the tournaments.
That's a generational thing, Jake. Yeah.
Yeah, and MTV's category kind of fits that a little bit better. Yep. But your point does stand.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. I agree. That's why I said that shit.
Jake, you made a point that they let you have.
Finally.
Yes.
I'm marking that one.
Yeah, you should.
I didn't know we banged Jake down. Did we?
No, I'm messing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'll gladly help.
Brian calls me. He's like, nah, just shut up. We got it. Thank you.
All right,
hey,
Mark.
Pete, one more quick question. Did you ever do a show in a singlet? Did that ever happen?
Mike donned the singlet. When we wrestled the Miller brothers.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
That was so weird.
I nearly got my trachea broke trying to wrestle Dan Miller.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. I tried to get out of one of his chokes and I almost cracked my neck.
Yeah. I had him put me in it too.
Yeah.
All right. Let me say this real quick. Thanks for having me on. It was really, really cool to kind of break out of my retirement mode and kind of dip my toes in the pool again and talk to a lot of people that I care deeply about. And
thank you.
Hopefully Ike Live will.
Becky and Pete.
all 2 inches. All 2 inches. But I am going to make cameo appearances every now and then on BTL. And
yes.
Actually,
thank you.
This week, I'm going to come on because there's something that needs to be addressed because of something that I'm kind of involved with on the side. And
are you going to sabotage it with bowling and basketball like you did to us?
No. Yeah, I'm just going to be directed to the point because that show is about fishing now. It's not about basketball and bowling and hockey and everything else. It's Bass Talk Live, where we talk bass fishing
and nothing
and
else.
That's all we talk about.
Mark, I would rather
no bitterness.
Mark, I would rather hear about you boring holes than goddamn fucking drop shots and 6-pound line, dude. Swear to God, man.
There's a lot of dinking and dunking going on the show now. So,
Next time we have you on, it'll all be singlets and handcuffs, Mark.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll plan for that, my friend.
Bowling balls and singlets.
Hey, Becky, thanks for letting me come on. I'm glad things are kind of rolling. I do have a solution. I watched the show earlier with Brian.
Oh, boy.
You know, him being G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip and all that, with the delay in his voice. I think I have a solution for what's going on there. So
we still have it, Mark?
That. Do what?
We still have it?
I don't know. I'm not watching it. So all I see is the Zoom feed.
I thought you saluted it.
Saluted
it. He put a Band-Aid on it.
I thought you already solutioned the problems.
No, the other problems. That was other.
How about Tuesday morning, BU?
I got other problems.
Hey, Mark, you better you better get on some Grapefruit 45 so this show can last, bro, because I didn't even know this was still happening with you, man. I thought we figured this shit out. I don't get here early enough to know.
Hey, Mark, by the way, there's a Bass U Live Tuesday morning at 11 Eastern, and we need you to reboot the Bass U Wirecast.
11.
So
that.
Now you don't get to have Memorial Weekend.
Well, enjoy Monday, but don't drink too much because we need you up early
and
Tuesday
no basketball
morning.
Camps on Tuesday.
All right. So Tuesday morning, you need some help.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be there, Brian?
Me? No, I'm going to be out earning a living.
Becky?
I'm always here.
But okay. Pete and
Tuesday,
and
Tuesday I'll make the adjustments and make it happen and get you guys
Thank you,
taken
buddy.
Care of.
You're the best.
Appreciate
right.
you.
Hey, you guys rock, man. Thanks for having me on. Hopefully you'll have me on again.
Hell yeah.
And you know, June, big month for me. I got 3 PBA 50 stops.
Good luck.
More info to come on that. If people want to follow my journey on the PBA website. So we'll see what happens. Hey, I have no pressure. I got nothing. Those guys are all legends out there. But we'll see what I can
do. Is it live on YouTube or anything?
It is on BowlTV.com.
Bolt?
Bowl.
Bowl.
Okay, Bowl.
Bowl TV.
You got to pay for that shit?
Copy.
I think you get a comp. You get like 30 days
All right.
free or something.
I'd like so, to see
you, We'll Bolt. Sign up in June.
There you have it.
All right, good luck.
Fine, man. Take care. Pete,
yeah,
everybody.
Thanks.
Mark.
Thank you.
Great
you
Mark rock. Jeffries. Awesome, buddy. Thank you.
That was fun.
That was.
How haven't you guys learned at least one thing the guy's got to teach you? Like, how's he got to be showing up every day?
That's all
like,
me.
How have you not pushed one button after the guy's name?
What? Dude, what?
Like, how have you not pushed one button after what the dude showed you? You know what I mean? Like,
listen, dude.
It's complex.
I'm sorry. I'll shut up. I'll shut up.
Don't. It's not you. It's me. And computers. They can all.
Well, that was awesome.
Dude, that was great.
Mark was awesome. It's fun. See him relaxed, you know, not
no pants.
No pants. Talking bowling.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was fun.
He
that
went was William, a lot of like, yeah, my eyes are bad, so I couldn't tell the difference between his leg and the khaki shorts.
He went William Wallace on us.
Yeah. All I saw was leg.
Where was he in the BT studio?
MTP studios. Okay.
We have to. Are we doing an unboxing tonight?
Yes, yeah. We're doing an unboxing, and I've got a couple quick stories while you guys are setting
Well, yeah,
that up.
Start telling stories because I have left my children long enough.
Yeah. So I work today.
And they're still alive, Becky.
Trying to wrap up a kitchen job, and I was going to tell this when Mark was on, but I get there, and the lady's, you know, she's got some cats. And the one cat had gotten attacked while we were there on the job. It you know, got out, and I think maybe the, like, construction cat. They're old, man. This was like an 18-year-old cat, 17, 18. And the construction may have, like, kind of freaked the cat out, so she stayed out or whatever. But she got attacked. And I get there, and, you know, and it's an awesome lady. And I just got to wrap up a few things and kind of finalize everything. And she's like, yeah, I got to take her to the vet. She's really doing bad. I think I'm going to have to put her down today. And the cat's just laying there on the step kind of sleeping. And a couple hours later, you know, and I guess I was outside for a minute. I come in, and Doris was a little upset. And she's like, she passed.
Oh.
What?
Yes. But I thought it was – I thought that was the way it should have happened, right? Not take her to the vet. Like, it should have happened there. So.
Yeah.
That was an incredibly depressing story.
I know.
Yeah. See, you're still sure about the cattle on the steps.
I don't want to be the only one suffering here.
God, that thing was dead on the steps the whole time.
Oh, my God. I thought he was going to tell us, like, all of a sudden it turned around.
Yeah. All of a sudden it shot up in the air and flipped some cats.
I stayed on the steps.
I grabbed my power tools and put some CPR on the cat.
What's the second story?
So Logan played his final high school.
So this is depressing too.
Actually, it was. Yeah. His final high school musical performance the other night, and he got to play a song that he composed and wrote himself.
Dang.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That is really
so
awesome.
So he wrote the.
Congratulations.
You know, composed the bassoon part and the piano part that his buddy played.
Wow.
It's pretty awesome. We have it chucked up. I think we're going to roll out to it.
Does the buddy really have, like, cool. a piano in his house that he can...
Well, Logan, you know, showed him the parts. These kids can play stuff, man. Logan
no, I remember being in your house one time with all of them there, like, just playing instruments.
Yeah, dude.
They learned, right? Like, on their laptops, man. It definitely next level of smarts.
So, I can't even play chops.
So while we're on a bad story real quick, girlfriend and I come home from the store yesterday, and we hear this noise coming out. We got a lot of woods around. Hear this noise coming out of the tree, and we're like, what the hell is that? You turn around, there's a hawk flying away with a blue jay in its grasp.
A hawk took down a blue jay?
Yo, took it down. And then
it's flying through
the bushes, and the blue jay drops, and you see two other ones chasing it. Like, it was crazy. It's part of nature. You're out there watching. Like, that's cool. Well, she wants to go help the blue jay, so we run and get gloves and cardboard box, put it in there, and watch it for like 15, 20 minutes. She's like, keeps checking it. And she goes out with the dog. Says, I'm going to take the dog. I go check on the bird. I check on the bird. I'm like, oh, it's gone. Didn't make it, but... We got some cool feathers out of it, but yeah, it's just another bad story.
I didn't take any fur.
Gosh, do you have? Did something bad happen to you?
No, I have a fox that's been running around the field in broad daylight all week, so that's a little unnerving. So I haven't let Quincy outside the fence.
Quincy would tear the fox apart, right?
I don't know. I don't want to find out, because why is it out in broad daylight? Like,
Foxes don't even attack cats.
I don't know if it's rabid.
No, you're wrong. They attack people.
But they're usually not out
in broad daylight.
It's got to be rabid.
I know a dude who got banged by a fox, yes.
Rabid, then.
He got lit up living out in Tabernacle, got tore up by a fox.
Really?
What was he doing with it? A dad on my kid's wrestling team was going in his back door at night and got attacked, got mauled.
Had to be rabid, right?
I don't know. Had to be. Nobody asked the fox if he was rabid.
Yeah, you usually don't see him out in broad daylight, so that's questionable. That's why I'm a little hesitant.
No, I don't know.
All right,
I have an amazing frog in my hand from MTB.
All right, Logan's going to play a song called Your Mother that he named, and let's do our unboxing. Your Mother, Logan Stockel. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, so what I am...
Stay with it, man.
Yeah, it's a tatiki frog. If you did not subscribe to MTB, you would not otherwise find this frog. Now, Pete, what I find most intriguing, Power Bay Paul, check out the head to this frog. It's fortified.
Almost like a scum frog.
It has like a helmet on it. So, you know, the front of the frog always wears out after about five or six fish. Mm. It rides up the hook.
Yeah.
Feel the front of that. It's like a helmet on that thing, dude.
Yeah.
Rather rad. And the hooks, of course, are laser sharp. Gamagatsu, I'm suspecting, but...
Good-looking frog.
You would not find this frog otherwise anywhere else. And it is by... T-A-K-I Frog. It is 10,000 Fish is the company.
That's Ketchco. That's their brand.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do some crazy stuff.
Dude, it's got a helmet. I never would have thought of that.
That company's getting out there.
I took one for the team because I counted how many baits there were and how many of you guys there were. And I took the hooks. Daiichi hooks.
Hey, you can't catch fish without them.
Yeah.
Arguably the most important.
Exactly.
Are we giving this box away to anybody?
Nope, you can take it home.
Whoever can hear us gets it.
Hold on. Who was going to call Pete Kluzek?
Yes.
Who was getting the 7-pound bag? Who is going to win Becky ... question?
Nobody.
Nobody? All right.
Nah, wide open.
Rotten bastards.
Power Ray Paul, you're next.
All right, I got the Joko Shaker Super Floating Swim Baits. Looks like a Japanese company. Saw it on the back somewhere. But yeah, Lucky John.
There you go.
It's a floating paddle tail swim baits. Yeah.
Very nice.
That's
Let me
cool.
check them out. Yeah, it's good looking boot tail.
Yeah.
Interesting color for a swim bait. I like that. Yeah. I would not pick that one. I would throw, which I like.
How about you,
Power Bay Paul? Something unique.
Would you use that?
Yeah, I would use that. Honestly, I'd use that in my striper spot. Cause stripers and paddle tails.
Yeah.
Go together. I don't know if that worked.
Yeah.
We'll find out later.
I was trying to listen to your son and talk at the same time. Very hard for you.
Your volume went up. You were trying to talk like you were out at a club, trying to over-talk the music, the band.
I was trying to listen to his son. I know
him. That's pretty awesome, though. That he composed that himself.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah.
All right.
Pete, what did you grab?
Oh, you want me next? I got a top order, a Mischief Minnow,
which is
kind of crazy because it's got a blade, and this is interesting because it's going to give you flash. I know some frogs that have blades built into them for the same purpose, right? You're getting that flash up on the surface. That's very, very unique. Very interesting. So, totally unique bait. Look forward to seeing that one.
Is that a spy bait or a prop bait?
It's a top.
Oh,
order.
I see. The blade is right there. Yeah. Okay, I was thinking the blade's like right there and there.
The blade's hanging down the center of the bait.
It's a little tangle.
It's a little little dang. I'm interested. It looks like a walking style bait. Gonna be cool with that flash.
So, Pete, if you were to go to some place, what lake do you envision that working on?
You know, honestly, anywhere that there's bait fish around. I would use this on the Chesapeake.
Yeah.
You know, I would certainly use it on the stock pond I fish. You know?
You're right.
Yeah, honestly, I'm glad you said, because here's one of the things. When I take baits that I don't know work, the first thing I do is find a school of fish. Yeah. When you find a school of fish, that's the time to try new baits.
Yeah.
Like, if you try new baits on a lake you've never been to before, you can lose confidence in them real quick. And you don't know if they're affected. You don't know what the deal is.
Immediately.
But once you get on a area that's got fish in it, that's the time to pick up one of these baits and give it a whirl. You can see whether or not they commit to it, whether they don't. It's aggressive. You learn so much about it. So that's a big deal.
Preach, brother.
What do you guys got back
there? Beautiful, Pete.
I got a Phoenix Baits 3/8 Archie Head jig. And it looks like PBJ.
Swim jig.
Archie Head, like a flipping jig. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, is it the double barb Arky? Do they still do that?
No, this is just single.
Remember that, Brian? The double barb Arkies?
They got that.
Yeah.
Double up.
What do you got?
I got some crawls, some crows.
Fish hooey.
Fish hooey.
Fish hooey?
Fish hooey. I got this fish hooey crawl. It's got a little jazz hands on it. There you go. Jake.
Unique shape.
What are we talking about?
Purple. It's going to go good on the PB&J jig I got in my hand there.
Yeah, purple.
It's pretty purple to me.
Got to keep them guessing.
It has a light purplish hue.
Nice. Keep giving fish a different look. Mystery tackle box. First 2 months, you get the third one free.
Boom.
Boom.
Wow.
That's the deal. Get subscribed to Mystery Tackle Box. You can have a blast with your family, your son, you know, your fishing buddies.
It's pretty cool, man.
It's like Christmas every month.
The Pro Box is rather rad, man.
Yeah.
Use code Ike Live.
Use code Ike Live. Yeah. Get it all done.
Jake Live.
BTC, what else? Isn't there another sad story on your agenda that we have to talk about?
I feel like there is. Hold on, let me check my notes.
One dead cat.
I feel like we need to tell everybody, though. Right now's the time. If you have a father and you don't know what gift to get him, you've got Mystery Tackle Box.
Yeah.
You've got BU. The Mike Iaconelli shop has got sales right now on apparel, stuff like that. Who else do we work with? Tackle Warehouse, don't they have a huge 15% off or something store-wide now?
Join, go to the Ike Foundation tournament with your dad.
There
you go.
Join. And a new sponsor came aboard, 23andMe. Find out who your dad is. Spit in the cup. Take the test.
Oh, my God.
You might be surprised.
Do you know what all that was started for? 23andMe.
Oh, here we go.
Collecting Back. DNA.
Sasquatch?
No, collecting DNA, yes. All right, so do your own research.
Huh? I am not an expert.
It is to.
I am not a scientist.
Harness the spawn of Cain. Find the genetic code of Cain. Because if you can compress it, you can bring demons into the realm much easier. This is a theory that's out there. It's also to find the Jesus strain. And
we got a Jesus strain?
There's a Jesus strain and a Cain strain.
No, what's a Cain strain?
This was proposed actually to the federal government to fund. They wouldn't fund it, so it went private.
Dude, they funded staring at goats, so...
Wait, how could there be a Jesus strain if Jesus didn't have children?
Well, I'm just telling you what the I... What, guy's There's, name is... The guy's name is... oh, my God.
There's a theory that Mary Magdalene...
I'll get his name. No.
Magdalene and Jesus were...
It was more so, but it was more so. So listen, listen. It was more so focused on the spawn of Cain, right? To if you can get a pure spawn of Cain, then demons can easily transfer through their realm into that particular person. And it was more or less more so to harness. And actually they have everyone's genetic code, right? Think about the viruses that they're creating. They can specifically target. People with blue eyes, or people with you know certain skin colors, they can absolutely target viruses and pathogens to affect those people specifically because they now have a collection of everyone's DNA they never had before.
And you thought bowling balls were bad?
Yep.
Something to think about, people.
I used it to find my mom and dad. Legit.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
I did that. You know.
Right.
So
why would anything else be crazy to think that it's possible? Why, if you found something good out of it, what does the military-industrial complex immediately do with anything? They weaponize it. So why would you not think they would weaponize it at the same time you found something good to be done with it? Do you think they would take all of our information and do nothing with it? After 9/11, they found a reason to violate all of our Fourth Amendment rights, whether we're going through an airport, whether it's through our phones, our emails, or anything. They have the right now to listen to us where they never had that before. Same thing with when we donate our DNA to a collection database.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
Why would you not think they're doing something with it?
Thank you for coming out this evening.
Of course.
And one last thing before Becky's head explodes. The Large Hadron Collider is an 18-mile circumference built underneath the Earth. Who paid for that? And why? Right?
More importantly, Brian, first preface this question what you're saying. Let's
Are you
ask,
serious? You don't know about this, Rebecca?
Is this Area 51 you're talking
about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Please first watch... The launching of the Hydrogen Collider, the CERN, CERN, yeah. Charlie Echo Romeo November. please access first the ceremony that they launched it with. And first, tell me how demonic that is, number one.
I saw that.
Number two, I ask you to, I will not say the name, but phonetically,
Voldemort.
Sierra Hotel India. All right. Shivas is the name of the demon, okay? There's a demon named Shivas that controls their world to our world. And it has been shown and hidden in Hindu term. It's like that multiple-legged blue woman that has things in her hands. That is actually the guardian of the demon world to this world. Look up Shivas, CERN. And make your own decisions from it. But it's very interesting. And I've been down that road. I'm still currently on that road. But it's very
talk.
Deep.
It's been a while.
It's very deep. And it's something cool to look at, guys. I mean, you can't always just fish. All right? You're not always going to be on the water at 11 o'clock at night. Go on the internet and look at some stuff.
Yeah, stop watching the news.
Don't watch regular news. It's all lies. All
Dave, Paul, take
Dave wants you to stop looking at porn and start looking at the Shivas.
The Shivas.
No, don't look at that. Be careful with all that demon stuff. Because if you are not cloaked, and I was not cloaked, you got to be careful with that stuff. I'm telling you right now.
Did Travis hit you up?
Yes.
Okay.
What was that about?
Y'all, I have to put children to bed.
He asked me for your number.
I have to put children to bed. We can have this conversation.
All right.
We got to let the people go.
We'll do this after show.
Yep. All right. Oh. That was an amazing left turn.
It was so tough.
But, hey, guys, thanks for
We'll be cloaking ourselves while y'all go to bed.
Yes, we're going to be getting educated on cloaking.
None of you will. You actually right will. None of you are cloaked.
Dude, but, wait to be so patient and wait.
Yeah. All the way to the end. This stuff is always boiling in me, man.
Thanks, Mark Jeffries. Thanks for everybody watching. We are going to see. We'll be back soon with another Ike Live. Thank you, Power Bay Paul, for hanging out with us.
Yeah,
appreciate you.
Thanks for surviving.
Thank you. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you next time cloaked.
Looking forward to
it. Yeah, yeah. Yes. I'll be cloaked.
All right.
Thanks to Dave.
Yes.
Hopefully replacing me.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Tonight's Light You Can Share winner is Michael Hunt. Congratulations, man.
Mike Hunt.